Hey everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Boston Hockey Pod, back and better than ever. I'm Sarah Kirkpatrick.
Judy Cohen.
And Andrew Battaferrano.
And we're pretty excited. It's been a while since we've gotten to record a podcast yes. for all of our lovely listeners, readers. And at least for us, I think we're, after that long break with so much news breaking and kind of God knows what was going on with this team, I think we're all pretty impressed, satisfied. I don't know quite the word, but I think we all understand that BU's in a much better position than it seemed like it was going to be, say, in late December.
Yeah, it was a lot of digesting everything that was just happening. It seemed like everything was sort of just throwing out at once with the Roberto news and then Greer leaving. It was just
new guys coming in. Adi's going to be injured forever. Like,
except he comes back and scores a game-winning goal against Harvard. But
no big deal. He's hurt.
Just a lot of stuff going on, and it was an interesting weekend against BC, to say the least, right?
Yeah, that was kind of a weird weekend. I still don't know quite how to feel about it because I don't think it was necessarily a step back. I don't feel discouraged, but I don't feel like it was particularly encouraging either. Andrew was only there for the second game, but Judy was there with me for both games. Judy's always there for me.
But she was there to console you late at night.
Late at night. No, but anyway, Judy was there with me for both games, so she can probably give some insight too on what she thought.
Yeah, it's just, I think as a whole, it was an interesting weekend, but also kind of a frustrating one because they had legitimate chances to win both of those games. I mean, they were winning in the Friday game at Conte after the first period and then kind of, you know, took all the penalties and
some of which were questionable.
Yeah,
which we
don't
get into too much.
Yeah, well, I know other people.
A lot of the talk on Twitter was the penalties.
So, but I mean, regardless of whether some were questionable, it's like seven total. It's like a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Was it eight, wasn't it?
Eight. Yeah, seven eight. Power plays for BC, but eight penalties. BC had six penalties, I think. Something so, like you that. Know, there was only one even strength goal scored in that game. So that should tell you something. But, and then the next game on Saturday was really intense. I really actually enjoyed it, even though there were only two goals scored. But I thought it was
kind of deflating near the end for BU fans.
Well, but I thought it was, you know, it was really, really cool to watch both goalies be so good for so long, and then that one shot, Danny's shot that went off Grizzlick, and then they were so close.
Yeah, I think
Fitzgerald with an absolute snipe. Nothing McGuire could do about that one.
Honestly, I think the most encouraging part of that game was, I mean, there's all the talk around Demko and how he's the best goalie and he's a very, very good goalie, and I think it was just remarkably encouraging to see Sean McGuire go kind of along with him and be able to keep BU in that game when Demko was so spot on also.
Yeah. It reminded me of the Quinnipiac game almost.
Yeah, absolutely. And while he lost that shutout at the end,
sad.
It was sad to see. We were all trying not to jinx it.
It was
and
so close.
Was it Dave in D.C.? One of our live podcast was like, oh, McGuire's going to need a shutout.
And yeah,
talking about he needed a shutout.
Yeah, and then
a
few minutes later.
Jinxed it. But no, jinxes aren't real, guys. So
yes, they are.
Okay, well, that's a topic for another day. But
Someone out there is throwing a no-hitter right now that we just jinxed.
Yeah.
But I think it's really encouraging to see how well McGuire's been playing. You know, finally kind of, you know, probably really getting into that role of recovering from the head injury. It takes a while. People don't realize that. You don't just come back and like magically, wow, you're back to where you were before your injury.
Right.
So you have to build up the confidence
beyond just the physical strength. He hasn't played college hockey in a year.
Right. It's just you got to adjust to game speed and just being out there and getting the feel of what just being out there for a game is like. And I think he's finally getting that. And just from what I've noticed since he's been with BU, he always seems to play well in these big games.
He does. He is such a big game goalie. It's insane. Like,
goes on that run his freshman year to almost single-handedly carry BU to the NCAA tournament. They fall short by a game, but he plays.
Do you remember that goal?
Off of his shoulder. Oh, I thought it hit off his head, but it hit off his shoulder.
Heartbreaking. Memory.
And then he has.
That was awful. That was also another late game goal.
That was in the third period.
Yeah,
I think it was about halfway through the third period.
Yeah.
And this year, you know, Quinnipiac, number one team in the in the country, number two
outbattles
depending on the ranking. And he played a great game. I thought he kept BU in the game, especially Quinnipiac's power play was, that was, I've never seen a power play look that quick in college hockey. Mm-mm. At least maybe BU's last year was good at times, but that was just impressive. And he hung in there. He made some key saves, and some of the saves he made against BC were just, I don't know, he just looked
they really, were really good.
A couple of odd man rushes that BC had, you know, you would think, oh wow, they're going to score here. And he comes across the crease and dives and flashes the glove. Mm-hmm. I think he's finally getting back to where he was.
Yeah, definitely.
Agree. And Glenn wanted to know, he commented in our questions, he wanted to know, does Sean have another year of eligibility? And if so, will he come back? Last year he redshirted. Yeah. So technically does have another year of eligibility. Yes.
I don't think he's coming back.
I don't get the sense that he does, because you have Connor Lecouvé, who will be a junior, and I think he's coming back. I don't see why not, right?
No reason not to.
Max Prodzik, who's on the roster right now, and Jake Ettinger, who is on the national development team for the U.S. He's supposed to be coming in next year, so that's three goalies. You're not going to carry four goalies. McGuire's already...
You can, but they have no reason.
There's no reason
and
to.
If he does continue to play this well, I think he could probably just go pro.
And you never know. Maybe you'll see him step in for Marc-Andre Fleury next year for the Penguins, but... remains to be seen, but no, I don't think he'll be back next year. That's just my feeling.
But nonetheless, I think it's good to see. I was kind of being a little mean earlier this week. I went on Scott McLaughlin's podcast and probably was not so nice to Sean McGuire, but I guess he proved me wrong this weekend. I think he's moving very much in the right direction, and if BU is going to get anywhere this season, they're going to need him to perform like he did this weekend, most definitely.
Yeah, he's so fun to watch.
He's good, yeah.
Interesting person to talk to
as well. I take back everything
bad
I ever said. I like Sean McGuire at this point. I think it's very encouraging for BU that he's playing this well right now.
Yeah. I just think it's so interesting. He's such an active goalie.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in terms of his stick and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think he's actually... To me, he's one of the better goalies I've seen at BU the last couple of years, actually, like, play the puck behind the net.
Same.
He's pretty sound with when he comes out and, like, coming out to stop.
Which I'm so used to, like, that makes me so nervous still to see that, but
well,
I think that's just because of certain instances from last
season.
I mean, to me...
But he's very good at
no, he's really good. He knows
so
at Harvard...
I just need to learn to trust.
At Harvard, I was really impressed because there were a couple times when it looked like the Crimson were, like, coming down the ice and he just kind of jumped out of the net and just flung the puck back up the ice. And it was just really good judgment, I think, on his part.
And I know
he knows when to come out.
I was going to say, I know we've never asked him, or at least I don't think we've ever asked him about it specifically, about like how he works on practicing playing the puck out of the net. Mm-hmm. But that would be interesting to see how much time he devotes to that, because it looks like he probably has practiced that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not... I feel like that's something you just don't, like, be good at without practice.
Well, no. I don't think it is.
So entering this weekend, Coach Quinn, when we talked to him on Thursday, he said that this is the best lineup we've had in a long time. I more or less agreed with that,
yeah.
I think, at the
same time.
I think they've obviously been playing well. It was working. Line combinations seem to have it together. But come Friday, that same lineup lost. And after the game, I was like, so you said this was a good lineup, but do you think you're going to change it? And he's like, I don't know. I'll look at the film. And lo and behold, Saturday, I don't know what that was.
Nick Olson
got hurt again. I think he's supposed to be back next weekend, or they're hoping to have him back.
That's what they're hoping.
I'm still baffled by that lineup.
Chase Phelps was out of the lineup.
I have no idea what Chase Phelps did wrong.
Yeah, me neither.
I can't point to anything that would cause him to work his way out of the lineup. But anyway, so the point of this is that Brian Difley is at forward again.
Not sure.
I've been thinking about this like 24/7 ever since they did it, the two Michigan games. I don't get it.
I think
we're kind of just lost for words.
Yeah,
I think he's just better suited to play defense, and I think he's not a bad defenseman. I mean, he almost got drafted in the NHL draft this past year, so it's not like he doesn't have talent on the defensive end. I just don't see his skill set as being. It's not a guy that's going to put up a lot of points. I know it's on the fourth line, and you're generally not going to get a lot of points out of your fourth line, but you do want some offense coming when they do have chances, and that fourth line really didn't have that many chances.
No, not compared to... I thought they even had chances Friday night.
With Chase and Mike.
Yeah.
And Oscar Andrew.
Yeah.
He was on the third line, so we just think about that.
Oscar Andrew at times is actually like I mean, he played on the third line for Saturday, and to me it was the first time I had seen him in person playing, and he looked pretty good. Like,
he's still adjusting, but I mean, I don't think he's bad necessarily.
No, probably better for the fourth line.
But against BC's fourth line on Friday, that fourth line of Phelps, Marin, and Andrin like actually generated
chances
offense in their attacking zone, whereas I did not notice them as much on Saturday.
Yeah, part of that's because he only played them a few. I didn't notice them very much in the later in the game, so I don't know how much he was playing them. I just don't get Brian I'm still like coming back to this. I don't get why Brian Diffley,
especially because you brought in Eric Udall.
Yeah, that's what I don't get, as a forward. If you're gonna mix up your lineups, why not try
him in there?
Yeah, just give him a spin.
See what he can do.
I realize it's a big game, but I just.
Also, I don't know what Dylan Lawrence's status was, but
he played
against Quinnipiac, which
Dylan Lawrence
played against a top two team in the country. What was the issue of playing against him against BC?
Yeah, and had Chase a shot. Phelps.
He did have a shot.
That I keep coming back to is what did Chase Phelps do? Unless there's some like magical thing we don't know about.
As far
as we know, healthy scratch, and it was just more of a lineup decision more than anything.
Maybe he just wanted to get Diffley in the lineup and keep his legs fresh. I don't really know.
But I doubt it. Against BC, just be like, go out there, Brian.
I don't, yeah.
Just, keep him fresh.
And I'm just at a loss for words because I can't come up with, like, a logical analysis. He isn't fast. He's not as fast as a forward should be. He's not, like, not skilled, like, particularly in terms of shooting or, like, passing, I would say. I just don't see any sort of upside as a forward. And I thought he would just cut the experiment after the Michigan weekend and say this was fun and not come back to it. But yet here we are on January 16th, still trying this out.
He's not a bad hockey player.
No, you have other options at forward.
You have so many
You have at least three. If you're going to sit Chase Phelps, you have Eric Udall.
Yeah.
You have Dylan Lawrence, and you have Shane Switzer, who can play defense
and forward.
Who to me he looks to me he looks a little bit faster than Brian Diffley.
He is faster.
He's faster. He has an actual shot. Because
he's played forward at least pretty recently too, but it not a BU, but you know. Before he came
had a goal. He has a goal this season. But it was
in the preseason.
But nonetheless, he
still has a goal. But I don't know. I guess it'll be interesting to see what lineup comes around this weekend.
Yeah. If Olsen's back, they won't need him up at forward unless they want to sit the fourth liners for Diffley, which doesn't make a lot of sense.
Then we would have to really find out
what's going on there.
But I think the other part of this is just the kind of sixth defenseman spot, too, is kind of going back and forth between John McLeod and Brian Diffley. I think that's fair to say. With all eight defensemen healthy.
Which is interesting because before the year started, you wouldn't think John McLeod would kind of be in that position. At least I don't think he would have been.
I wasn't expecting him to. I thought he was like solid.
Same.
Perfectly.
I thought he was going to kind of follow the Doyle Summerbee track, you know, took a lot of penalties his freshman year and then step it up his sophomore year and, you know, take fewer penalties, stay on the ice more, continue to play solid defensively. And maybe we've seen some of those mistakes that he's made his freshman year, continuing this year.
Yeah, but I think if it came down to it, Judy, I think you and I were talking about this recently, right? If it came down to between John McLeod, I would much rather have John McLeod just because I think
he's more solid as a defenseman.
He's more physical. Like
he's a big guy.
He fits better with Summerbee, I think, than Diffley would.
Yeah.
So
they did play well together last year, but I think I do tend to agree that I would have John McLeod out there as well. But I guess if we're going to talk about, like, Quinn saying it was the best lineup that he had all weekend, all year, this previous weekend, at least on Friday, I actually really do like the way the first two lines are playing. I was pretty skeptical about having Greenway and Adi play together when it first started at the end of last semester, but I'm impressed by the way that line looks.
They play really
well.
And
can we talk about Matt Lane and just how
just having a very solid year?
He's been, like, I was talking about this with our old friend Connor Ryan, who was on the blog writer last year, last night. Like, if I had told if I told any of you guys before the season started that at this point Ati and Madeline would have the same number of goals, like, what would your reaction be?
Because I would be, why
well, I'd be surprised
scoring goals?
Yeah, why is Ati not no scoring? Offense. It's just, I'm so amazed at how just the difference Madeline has made. And we talked about this when we were doing, like, our mid-season grades and stuff, and just how Madeline has become just such an important, crucial leader for this team, both on the ice and off, and how we always talk to him when the team loses.
Yeah, we talked to him on Friday.
Talked to him after the loss.
And what a surprise, we did not talk to him on Saturday.
Yeah.
When they tied.
Yeah, but he's rational, he gets it, always has an explanation, never defensive, always says, this is what we do. We need to do to get better.
He's great.
And he's playing very well, and he's really anchoring that line, too.
So I was just surprised towards the end of the game, there was just one instance where I noticed that it was, I think BU was still up 1-0 at that point. It was a face-off deep in the BU zone, and Adi took a face-off instead, and I was just really surprised because I don't remember the last time.
Isn't that Madeline's probably like...
Well, he's got a sub-500 face-off percentage on the year.
Yeah, it was
so
probably...
the one place where we...
It was probably something if... some sort of coverage where they wanted Lane to be on someone. It wasn't that Lane was thrown off the draw that I noticed. I think it was just Adi went straight to take the draw. It was just like, oh, wow, Adi's taking the face off right now. All I imagine him doing is getting the puck in. I'm like,
shooting.
I wonder if he was wondering if he could shoot it from the face off from the
right.
zone.
Pull it back and shoot
he
it.
He was probably wondering, like, how can I take a slap shot right now? Jordan Greenway is just, like, I think he's been a tremendous player since the...
He ended his, like, 7-8 game point streak this weekend.
Yeah, sad.
Which was kind of a quiet point streak, too. Like, I didn't notice until somebody was like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's on a 7-game point streak. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah.
Oh.
Really, since Red Hot Hockey, he's picked it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got that goal. Jump-started
someone's offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what they need someone. They need someone scoring, right? They can't just have the top line doing everything. So you
can't
need...
have Daniel Regan getting all his power play points.
Oh my God,
he got an even strength point on Saturday.
He did. That was
got
like
an even strength assist.
But
it's getting more.
But regardless, I think we've kind of gone off track, kind of talking about everybody. But I think
we haven't done a podcast.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about.
Yeah.
But I think that overall, the lineup that we saw on Friday and the lineup that was quote unquote like the best lineup you've had in a while is I think a much better lineup than what we saw on Saturday. Like, I think that's fair to say, even though they got a better result on Saturday.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
I just think that Sean McGuire bailed them out big time.
He made 38 saves.
Yeah, he made 38 saves.
So
yes, he bailed them out quite a bit. So I have a hard time thinking that Saturday's lineup is any good, even though it was only like a couple lines that were shuffled.
Yeah, I don't think it was the lineup that made the big difference. Like, Friday, I preferred Friday's lineup to Saturday's, and Friday's lineup was entirely capable of winning that game. They gave BC a lot of space in the neutral zone and didn't really stay tight on them in terms of defensive coverage. So if they had done that better and hadn't taken as many penalties, I think that lineup would have gotten the better result. But it just kind of,
comes down to penalties.
Fell apart. And then on Saturday, I mean, McGuire played really well on Friday, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, you know, when you're shorthanded for that long,
for 12 minutes,
literally.
I mean, you could talk all about 5-on-5 save percentage versus... percentage against a power play, it's always going to be lower when you're facing a power play, so it's
point.
A little tougher on the goalie there.
He was lights out on Saturday, so it made it look like, I guess, that the second lineup as a whole was better. I mean, they also said they played with more controlled and better, more emotion.
The right kind of emotion.
The right kind of emotion.
That was actually something that was really interesting, too, is Ati told us on Thursday that Matt Grizzly told the team, if we're going to win this series, then we need to control our emotions and not get angry and not get chippy. I think it was Matt Grizzlick, right, who was saying that on Friday
they didn't play with any emotion.
Yeah, they took that too literally. They didn't play with any emotion, which seemed pretty accurate.
They were,
like, they didn't get into too many
kind of
matches, whereas Saturday was kind of a... not that bad. Not as bad as Michigan OSU, but they were definitely a lot chippier in that game, but I think that also kind of orbited.
The way they came out Saturday was very different from the way they came out Friday. I don't want to say they were slow on Friday.
But they were slow.
But, and then
they were slow.
At first I thought that was okay because it looked like they were like trying to control the pace of play and it was working. They held BC to 5 shots and like none from the inside. But then I guess killing penalties didn't help that either because then they were just slow. And by the third period, no one was generating really much of anything. Mm-hmm. But then on Saturday, they came out and they were a lot, it looked like they were a lot harder on the forecheck, just trying to get up the ice, just being like physical with BC, pressuring them, stuff like that.
It was a pretty even game throughout most of it.
Oh, I mean, it was. I know until BC like took away with the shots.
I know BC ended up out shooting BU, but the shot attempts were, I think,
they were,
it was off by one. I think BC outshot BU like 72-71 in total like shot attempts,
or vice versa.
But my one worry is, and I guess to just look a little bit ahead, that, you know, they put a lot of energy into, you know, their biggest rival, and it's like, you know, they're new lineup playing together and they're like, let's put our focus on BC. You hope there's not a letdown this weekend against Maine, who is basically the worst team in hockey.
don't
shifting gears.
Yeah, shifting gears.
Objectively they're in last place.
Yeah.
And they have the lowest scoring offense in the league. Mm-hmm. And it's just a team that the last 2 years they've been a struggle, but you know, Alphon's a tough place to play. They're kind of rowdy. It's a small building.
No Ben Hutton this year.
No Ben Hutton.
So pretty much.
He scored his first NHL goal yesterday.
Go Ben. I always like Ben.
Wasn't too happy about that one, but that's for...
Oh, right. Sorry.
That's for another conversation. They're playing the Islanders, the team that I root for, if that's why I wasn't happy. Nothing against Ben Hutton. Nothing against Ben Hutton. Just fandom getting in the way.
There are two ways to, like, approach this weekend, and, like, they could either use it as, you know, a, like...
back on track kind of...
jumping
like,
off point.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, if, like, they could either be like, oh, it's just Maine, and we just played BC, so, like, we're tired and whatever. Or they could be like, wow, it's Maine. Let's score a trillion goals and then propel ourselves into the rest of the season.
Because I think so. This is something we're looking at this weekend with, just in terms of the Hockey East standings. Top four is going
to
be...
it's going to be a fight to the finish.
At this point, BU's gonna have to.
They have
win
to
out.
Essentially,
win. There's very little margin for error.
Or
here.
Get a lot of help from teams ahead of them.
Yeah, losing.
Which I was gonna say like, oh, BU doesn't have that tough of a schedule for the second half. And I look, they have two games against Lowell
and
two
games
against
Notre
Dame,
both in the top.
Notre Dame at Notre Dame. It's to Indiana, so that's a bit of a trip. Yeah, I think this is an important weekend because especially since if you're going to fight for, if you want that buy-in, although it is very tough and it doesn't seem that it could happen, if you really want to push for it, you have to win these two.
Like, this is the time of the season. I know we said last semester, like, we hate to say it's a must win or they need to win, but I think, like, mathematically, they need to win these games.
Yeah, like, last semester we were like, oh, they need to win this mentally to, like, keep going. This is, like, mathematically,
like,
they need to win.
And also for pair-wise, it would be awful.
Oh, God, if they lost to Maine.
Which is, I mean, you could talk about the USCHO poll and the USA Hockey Magazine poll. Like, those are coaches' polls and people voting, like, and, like, media people that are voting. Like, the pair-wise is what matters, and you need to win these games for, like, the math and the RPI. You need to win these games.
Full-length goal.
Yeah.
Jack Eichel won the game in overtime.
200-feet goal.
That was... And the first game at Maine, Connor and I... Sarah was not there that day. Connor and I actually covered that game. And BU ended up winning. They scored an empty net goal late. But it was a pretty, like, close score throughout. And, you know, you'd hope this year for this team, this would be a good, you know... kind of, like I said before, like a jumping off point, like a momentum shift.
Definitely.
Going, especially going into the second half. You know, I know it's not February yet, but, you know, the Beanpot is coming up.
Oh my God.
But we'll talk about that later.
We'll move on to that later. But anyway,
yeah.
This game isn't important for, like, a mental standpoint. It's more like, hey,
like
we want, BU wants to get, I'm assuming they want to buy. They need to win these games. And they're doable games. I mean, obviously, any game against against a Hockey East team is tough because
the talent's
good no matter what. But Maine is the team that's in last place.
Objectively,
if BU gets a split, they would not be happy.
No.
That's I just think that's, like, objectively how they would feel. They want to sweep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we've talked more than enough for today, but we missed you guys, so we want to make sure to get all of
yeah.
our conversation in.
Had a lot of
thoughts. Early in the week. Yeah, we have a lot of thoughts. It's early in the week, but as always, if you guys have any questions or comments or just want to
say hi,
feel free to comment on hockey.dailyprepress.com on any of our posts. And we'll be up in Orono on Friday.
Yes, we will. Long bus
ride up there, and we'll be back again on Saturday. So we're looking forward to it. And as always, remember to follow our live blog again at hockey.dailyfreepress.com.